It's our opportunity again to worship, to give God back praise and honor, set our hearts and our minds on Him. There's many things I know that distract us during the week. If you're like me, get busy doing things, thinking about things, and you can get just off track. And all of a sudden you start thinking, have I even thought of God today? And it's like, Lord, forgive me. I want to praise you. I want to worship you. And right now is an opportunity for us to gather our hearts together, to knit our hearts in faith and confidence in God and just lift him up. It says if he's be lifted up, he's going to draw all men unto himself. And I know that's him being lifted up on the cross, but I believe as we lift him up in praise, as we set our affections and our mind on things above this morning, that he draws us to himself. He brings us closer to him. He lets us experience him in a deeper and real way. And as I said last week, I believe that we need to be the people who want to know God real, for real. Not just know about him, not just know what he's done, not just know what he does, but know him intimately and personally. So Lord, today we come to you, Lord, with our hearts wide open. Would you stand? We come to you, Lord, ready to give you praise, ready to honor you, ready to lift your name in this place. And we just ask, Lord, that you would allow our hearts to knit with yours. Allow our hearts, Lord, to knit with you, Lord, in such a way that we have intimacy and closeness. We just praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for laying down your life, Lord. You laid it down. No one took it from you. We thank you, Lord, for being our Savior, being our salvation, the one that has bought us back, Lord, and purchased us. We're your prized possession, God. We thank you for that. And we just release, Lord, your power and your anointing in this place today. We release your authority over our lives, God, to do what you need to do in us to make us more like you. We surrender. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our will. We surrender into your hands this morning, Lord. We thank you that you do all things well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good. And I dance because you are good. And I shout because you are good. You are good to me, to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, to me. And I sing because you are good, and I shout because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, to me. And with the cry praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. In the sun array, and my life celebrates, you are good. My heart. heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. In the sun array, my life celebrates, you are good, you are good. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shower because you are good. You are good to me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good to me.
Give him a shout of praise, guys.
Amen.
Even if I ran away,
your love never fails.
No, I still make mistakes.
You have new mercies for me every day.
Your love never fails.
Stay the same through the ages.
Your love never changes.
There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
And when the oceans rage,
I don't have to be afraid,
because I know that you love me.
Your love never
fails. When you're strong in the waters,
I'm not alone here in these open seas.
Your love never fails.
The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side.
Your love never fails.
You stay the same.
You stay the same through the ages.
Your love never changes.
There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
And when the oceans rage,
I don't have to be afraid,
because I know that you love me.
Your love never fails,
because I know that you love me.
You make all things work together for my good.
You make all things work together for my good.
You make all things work together for my good.
You make all things work together for my good.
You stay the same through the ages.
Your love never changes.
There may
might be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, because I know that you love me. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, because I know that you love me. Could not hold you down. Sin was defeated on that day. As the mourners they came to see, but you had risen from the grave. Oh. Death could not hold you down. Sin was defeated on that day. As the mourners they came to see, what you had risen from the grave, I come alive. Freedom my soul craves, only your cleansing blood carries the power enough to say, let freedom. Won't
won't you come and have your way? Let freedom reign. Let freedom reign.
Death.
Death could not hold you. Sin was defeated on that day as the mourners they came to see. But you had risen from the grave. I come alive. You are the freedom my soul craves. Only your cleansing blood carries the power enough to say, let freedom reign. Let freedom.
Take this heart make it whole? Would you take my heart, place my heart stone? Would you take this heart and make it whole? Would you replace this heart stone? I want to know your voice. 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 Take this heart and make it whole. Would you replace this heart of stone? Would you take this heart and make it whole? Would you replace this heart of stone?
Sing that out.
This heart and make it whole. Would you replace this heart of stone? Would you take this heart and make it whole? Would you replace this heart of stone? I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice.
to see, to thirst, awaken first love, come away. Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. And blow through the caverns, O my soul, pour in me to your glory now.
You know, this song talks about the Spirit of the living God fall fresh on me. And I don't know about anybody else, but I really need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God deep in me. When we're singing I think it's the bridge where it says, Spirit, come and fill this place. Let your glory now invade. A lot of times when we're singing in a corporate setting like this, we think of the room, that he's going to come and fill the room, and he does. But what he really is all about is intimacy. And so it's filling this place, the depth of who we are. It's coming there. And that, my friends, is where the fresh comes from. This is all great and wonderful to feel it, but when it's deep within us, that's when the work of God can be done in our hearts. So if that's you, if everybody will just shut their eyes, I just want everybody to put their hands on their hearts, right at their heart area, and just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and just flow fresh through you today to restore, to revive, to refresh, to just give you something more. You, God. Father, we submit ourselves to you this morning. You don't need permission, but Lord, we pray that you would help us to open up to you. Holy Spirit, fall fresh deep inside my heart today. Pour out in every heart that's so hungry, that's so thirsty, that's so dry, God.
Come and breathe on me.
It was the breath of God that gave Adam life. And it's his breath today that will make you new. Everywhere the Lord breathes, there is life. So as we sing this, just cry out from your spirit for him to come and breathe on us. Pour out new life, fresh life.
Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Oh, won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come? Won't you come and breathe on me?
Necessarily that you don't respond in your heart, but there's a, you know, the enemy can't see in your heart, but he can see it in a sense in the natural. And when we take that step of faith and we say, you know what, I have been a little dry, I need a fresh filling, God, I need you to come in, I need you to touch me, Father God. Not necessarily that we've been living this awful and horrible life, but like that song says, we come and wake me from my sleep. Sometimes we fall asleep, and I can tell you, I've fallen asleep many a times, and the Lord comes in and he wakes me up and he says, all right, son, come on, get with it. I don't know if you've ever fallen asleep at the wheel, but it's kind of scary, and you jar yourself awake and you're like, okay, I'm good. But the Lord wants to wake you up today. And if either of those words rung true with you, I want you to take a step of faith and say, you know what, that is me. I need to wake up. I need, God, I need you, Father God, because I can't do it on my own. So if that's you, I just want you to lift your hand and say, God, I need your presence. I need your touch. I need your fresh filling, Father God. I need you to come and wake me, Father God. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this without you, Father God. God, I need you. I need that fresh filling. I need that fresh outpouring, Father God. Come and wake me, Father God. Lord, we surrender to you right now, Father God, and everything that you have for us, Father God. God, your will and your plans for us, Father God. It doesn't matter what we think, Father God. It matters what you think, Father God. It doesn't matter what we've done, Father God. It matters what you did, Father God. God, you died on the cross for us, Father God, so we could live free today, Father God. What we did this morning or yesterday or what we're going to do tomorrow, Father God, doesn't matter. What matters is that you reign supreme, Father God. You reign king, Father God, and you reign over us, Father God, right now, Father God. Lord, we just lift our hands and surrender to you, Father God. God, come and wake me from my sleep, Father God. God, fill me, Father God. God, with a fresh outpouring, Father God. I want to feel your presence like I've never felt it before, Father God. God, I want to stand in the presence of the mighty King, Father God. We love you, Jesus. We are so grateful for you, Father God. You are so awesome and mighty and powerful and wonderful, Father God. Nothing reigns supreme to you, Father God.
Great are you, Lord. will sing. Great are you, Lord, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you.
I feel like we need to prophesy that last line. Be all the earth. It's your praise.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
One more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour.
And thank you, Jesus. We just love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives today, Father God, in your name. Amen. Why is everybody sitting down already? Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Okay, so you need to find five people, or we'll go down to three just because it's better, and tell them that the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl again. So tell them, the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl again. Okay, you got to get off. Got to prophesy. Hey, the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl. Amen, right? No, it's no joke. They're going to win. So I haven't seen a lot of you since last year. It's been a really long time. Anybody have any good New Year's Eve stories? Or New Year's Day stories? Tara's still tired from New Year's Eve. I stayed up for 22 hours that night. I was pretty excited. I was so excited to bring in the new year, I just couldn't sleep. So, anyhow, welcome everybody. Welcome newcomers. We're glad that you could join the family today. And I'm going to turn it over to my mom, and she's going to do something special.
Hello, family. So, today is a different day because, one, it's New Year's Day. I mean, you know, the new year, first service. But, Barb, would you stand real quick? This is Barb Rivera, and my name is Gaylene Lindell. And we are one of the new teams for children's. So we're going to be taking the kids this month. And thanks, Barb. You can sit down if you don't want to keep standing. We get a letter on a monthly basis from a missionary in Zimbabwe, Africa. And he is associated with the Grace International, who is our association, our church affiliation. And he just does like an update on what's going on in Africa, how the ministry is going. He lost his wife many years ago, and he and his sons actually did the ministry over there. And one of them has since returned to the States and now is in one of our churches down in Vancouver. But he is still over there, and he is still ministering. And he ministers particularly to the orphans and to the widows. And that's so close to my heart because that's what the scripture tells us, you know, is to take care of them. And so he does. He's really adamant about it. Well, this month we got a letter in, and just, I think it was just before I told my husband that I would take a team. And wasn't it just before? Can't remember. Anyway, I read it and I'm like, oh, that is so powerful. And so I just want to read you portions of it just really quickly and then tell you what the Lord's laid on my heart for our children's ministry, not just for this month for our team, but for Zeke and Tara's team, for Gina and Stephanie's team. This is something that I want as a whole children's leadership to do together. But we're infiltrating it this month. So his name is Danny Curl. Am I saying that right? Okay. And he says, first I'll just read the very first so you hear what he says. Thank you so much for your faithful and generous support of our ministry to the needy people of Africa. So many are blessed by your support. He goes on to say that December is a great month and that they actually have, they're excited for December because it's their biggest ministry time and it's their bread truck month. And what that is that actually on Christmas Day, children come from all over and they line up behind the bread truck and each child for a Christmas present gets a loaf of bread. They don't get a toy. They don't get shoes. They get something they need. And these children are so excited for one loaf of bread that he says it's almost hard to see because we're so spoiled in the States. And so then he went on to say that in this last November, how he went to visit one of the widows that they minister to. And when he walked into the door of the hut that she lives in, his, you know how you just kind of span a room when you walk in? You kind of look, see who's there, look, see what's going on. He spanned over the room, and what he saw was her bed mat. She doesn't have a mattress. She doesn't have a bed. She has a mat that she lays on and sleeps on. And it's rolled out, and her blankets for that mat are folded very neatly. And he recognizes the blankets because they're blankets that his ministry gave her. And then his eyes move up the wall to the peg on the side, and it holds a couple of items of clothing, something he also notices and recognizes because they're clothes that they gave her. As he spans, and that's all on this side, as he spans this way, the only other thing that's there is this rough-hewn table, and on it is a little jar that has the leftovers of the cornmeal that they take to the widows once a month. And it's just enough cornmeal for them to make themselves some bread. Again, bread. And his heart just was wrenched. Like it just hit him so strongly how little they have. So this year, he decided that he wanted to do a little something more. And so, and by faith, you guys, this is totally by faith, because this man lives in squalor, honestly. He is not making any money. He is ministering, and that's it. His goal, by faith, was to take baskets to the widows instead of just cornmeal. And I want to read you what he wanted to put into the baskets. excuse me. He says, I wanted to give them tea, milk powder, sugar, candles and matches, bathing soap, laundry soap, rice, salt, cooking oil, and some flour. It was a big step of faith, because all he had been able to afford up to that point was cornmeal. So he reached out to all of the Grace International churches asking for help, and he was overwhelmed with the response. But now he wants to make it an annual tradition to do the baskets for the widows at Christmas. And that's where we fall in as a church, as a children's ministry. We are going to be making an offering can, and our children are going to be coloring their own little picture that we're going to put on a piece of cardstock and wrap around that can and shellac on there. So that's their offering bucket, their offering chest, whatever you want to call it. And every time that we dismiss the children to go down to children's church, parents, this is where you come in. Give your kids offering. Let them know that, I mean, even if it's something that you let them do through the week and that's their portion of the tithe that they want to pay, give them something to give. Because I as a person, not as a pastor's wife, not as a children's worker, not as a worship team, I as a person believe so strongly in outreach. It's comfortable in these four walls. We may have gone through hardships and have a rough time, but we're comfortable, over comfortable sometimes. And I want to help. So we're going to, throughout this year, we're going to be using this can. We're going to fill it up as many times as we can. And I'm not saying just fill it once. I'm saying as many times as possible. And we're going to get the funds to him so that he can get the things he needs, so that we can be a part of giving those widows a food basket and a help. Amen? So if you guys want any more information about it, please see me. I'd be happy to let you know what that's about. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask all the kids to come forward, because we're going to pray and we're going to go down and have fun. And Barb and Tim and Sabino are also all, that's our whole team. So we're really excited to have teens join us to help with teaching. So we're so excited. Are you guys excited? Hello, is anybody excited? Yeah. All righty, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for these kids. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would give them a heart of outreach, a heart of looking not just at themselves, but looking at what they can do to help somebody else that is in need, that has a need in their hearts, God. So, Father, I just pray that you would bless them today, Father, that as the word is spoken over them, and Father, as they hear the scriptures, God, that their spirits would awaken to you and to the good news of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Everybody, Go that direction. Walk, please. No running. Thank you.
Good morning again. Hey. Good. Keep it going. Great morning. There we go. Last week, Pastor Gay and myself shared, and it was kind of spontaneous. I was preparing something, and the Lord kind of changed me midstream. And then gave her something as well. And she shared on going deeper. And that's kind of a subjective statement, go deeper. And, for all of us, I think going deeper is going to have a different look. You know, I don't think my going deeper is going to be the exact same going deeper as you're going to do. But we still all need to go deeper. We still all need to go for the greatness, I believe, that God has in store for us when we go deeper. If we can yield to the Father's will, the Lord's will in our lives, I believe that we will see fulfillment. We will see His will being fulfilled in us. And to me, that is good news. I then shared on Acts 17. And at the time, I thought I was going to share on it's in Him we move and have our being, Him we live and move and have our being, and which is absolutely true. But as I was reading through passage starting at Acts 17, verse 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, even I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you.'" And I was just going to read through that, and I did read a little bit further, but the revelation came to me personally, that for a long time, I've been very religious. I've been very, for lack of a better term, structured, set, you know, have my plans. I know what it was to how to worship God and how to get to know God. And it kind of ended up being like, I guess for lack of a better term, a pattern that I followed. And through the years, it would vary. There'd be more times of prayer, less times of prayer, more times of reading the Word, less times of reading the Word. There would be seasons where I would maybe fast. And all of that, times of fellowship. I'm a big believer in fellowship. I love being with the brothers and sisters. Have a small group that we've had for over 10 years now at Zeke's house. And so I love that. But you can get to the place where you get comfortable. And you get kind of set in your ways. And when I read this to the unknown God, it had been reminding me of the lack of true intimacy that I've had in my Christian walk. Maybe some of the very early years, but it's been more of a relationship with my process than with an individual. And so today I just wanted to, and I did have something else I thought I was going to share on. So I was taking communion this morning alone. At home and just worshiping the Lord, and I was just declaring something out, and when I said it, it resonated through me, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll share on that today." And so if we could start the slide. Knowing God. That's today's sermon, and that's not all. Can you imagine? Knowing God, that's it. Know God. But knowing God, I mean, that's a subjective statement, because for the longest time, I thought knowing God meant knowing about God, knowing what He did, how He did it, how much he loves me, knowing, you know, his plans and his purposes and all those things. And they're a part of knowing him, absolutely. I mean, obviously in reading where he takes Moses out of the desert that he's been in for 40 years and he draws him with a bush that's not being consumed, you get a picture of some of God's character and his desire to reach us, however he has to reach us. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I was the one standing there in front of the burning bush. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, we can live through Moses to some degree, and we can learn somewhat of God because of that experience that we read in the Word. But I think God wants to have a burning bush experience with all of us, where we experience him face to face. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. This is a saying that I've read a couple of times, and it's kind of been, for lack of a better term, it's been like a reminder on my phone for about 6 months now. But it says we need to encounter the God of the book, not just encounter the book of God. We need to encounter the God of the book, not just the book of God. And again, I maybe just be preaching to myself here today. For years, I would literally have the mindset that when I read the Word, I was totally encountering God. And you know what? God, through my faith of desiring that, helped me experience him through those pages. But how many know that you can't experience someone just through documentation about them? It's impossible. I was going to save this, but it's perfect time. Moses and Gina, would you please come up here? So Gina, we're going to have you stand over there, and Moses, you stand over here. Now, they're married right now, but I'm just going to pretend they're not, and I'm going to say, Moses, what's that?
Right now.
Right now they are, yeah. That's not exactly what I meant. But anyway, Moses, Gina's going to be your bride. And look over at her, see her? I mean, she's... looks amazing, right? Yes, she looks amazing, right? Yeah. Just say yes and say it rapidly and with great enthusiasm. You'll do well. Anyway, so Moses, now we're going to do something a little different here, though. What I want you to do is, I want you to, fully give your heart to her and fully love her. But you can't touch her. Matter of fact, you can't get close. If you want to communicate to her, you have to yell to her. We'll get you a cell phone so you talk to her. But she's going to be your wife. But I've got good news. I have a book here, Moses, and this contains everything about her. All the things that she's done while she's been growing up. You can read it, and you can see what she likes, what she doesn't like. You can experience her through this book. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This is, yeah, you're reluctant, aren't you? And yet, folks, that's what we do. With a God, thank you, guys. Knowing God isn't just knowing about him. If the Bible could contain everything there was about God, it still would not be the same thing as having a personal, intimate experience with him. It will not measure up. And folks, there are so many of us that are dissatisfied in our Christianity. We're empty, we're tired, we're drudging through life trying to stay in faith when it's about us not truly knowing God. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. I put this in. We need to know the God of the book, not just know the book of God. Encounter and know are very similar. When you encounter somebody, you get to know them. You get to experience them. And yes, I'm not in any way saying don't read the Word. I love reading the Word. But the Word is an entrance into my relationship. It's a door into my relationship. The Word is not my relationship. Just as praying to God for intercession, praying to God, going into your prayer closet every single day and praying and lifting up, you know, people's needs and crying out to God and seeing Him answer those, that's still not relationship. That's still not fully knowing Him. Let's look at this. Colossians 1, 9, and 10. This is kind of what Paul was thinking in his heart when he was talking about knowing God. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Now, I used to read that, and I'd say, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm growing in the knowledge of God. I mean, I'm reading His Word, I'm praying, I'm fellowshipping, I'm doing all these things, and I know I'm growing in the knowledge of God. And to a certain degree, I was. Let's go to another verse here. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." So here we have two prayers by Paul for the churches. And if you notice, he's not just praying that they wouldn't sin. He's not just praying, you know, that all their financial needs will be met, even though, you know, he's talked about that in other places. He believes that those into churches that are in need, that God's going to meet their needs according to His riches and glory as He meets Paul's needs. So he understands that. But here's something he doesn't cease praying for them, and that's for them to have wisdom and revelation, but also in the knowledge of Him. See, it's one thing to have wisdom and revelation and understanding and being able to communicate those truths. I've been graced to be able to do that for years. God would show me something, I'd get to come here on a Sunday and share it, or on a Wednesday night and share it, or just with my wife sometime to share the revelation and the wisdom. And that's wonderful. But the knowledge of Him is really important, or the knowledge in Him is really important. So let's go into this here. 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, many of you probably heard this before. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God." So look, he's saying grace and peace following the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. "And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." I think a lot of us want grace and peace. A lot of us want the life and godliness that He's given us that pertains to all areas of our life. But you see there, it's through the knowledge of Him. Verse 4, I believe, goes on to say that it's through these precious promises that we take on His divine nature. And I believe that through knowing Him, we do take on His divine nature. And again, yes, we can know Him through His Word, but I believe that these words that we're reading here and in other places in the Bible where it talks about knowledge, when it talks about knowing, when it talks about having it, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, knowing in a certain way, that it's not necessarily the way that we always think and read it. So let's go to the definition. So this is the word that we just read. It's a Greek word. It's Strong's 1922, and it's epigenosis. And it is a noun. And so this noun has also a verb tense of this word that goes with. But in those particular instances, it's referring to knowledge as a noun. It's referring to it as the subject. It's referring to it as an important part of that sentence structure. And so what is Paul saying here? Well, if you look, this epigenosis doesn't just mean knowledge in my head. It doesn't just mean knowledge that I've acquired. from hearing from someone else or reading from a book. But it's knowledge, as it says here, the word epi means fitting, which intensifies the word gnosis. It's knowledge gained through firsthand relationship. Now, this is easy to get religious here and say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I have relationship with the Lord. I have intimacy with the Lord because, you know, he's with me. He never leaves me or forsakes me. But we have to be honest. How much do we engage with the one that never leaves us and forsakes us? How much do we spend our time thinking about him? And that's just the very beginnings of a relationship, is when you think about somebody. How about actually verbally interacting with them? How about seeing them? Now, all of this gets to be very, very difficult for us because I start talking about things, descriptions of an intimate, real relationship, and when you start putting the word that you're doing that with God, people think, well, that's impossible. You can't do that. You can't see God. So if you can't see him, how can you interact with him? Sorry, Ken. How can you have true intimacy with someone you can't see? Anybody else there? How can you know somebody that you truly can't see? Well, that's if we are looking at things that are seen. That's if we are focusing on things that are seen. If we're focusing on things that are seen, and those become more tangible and real. In other words, if I can talk to Zeke here, Zeke, how you doing? Doing well?
Yes.
How's that new job?
It's good.
Treating you guys well?
Yeah.
Good. If I can look at this interaction with Zeke, and I think that this is what is real, then when it comes to interacting with God, it becomes almost fairy tale for me. Because I'm thinking that this interaction is more real than something you can't see. And yet Paul even encourages us not to know each other after the flesh. Why do you think he said that? Because then we get so used to knowing each other after the flesh that we forget that we're to know each other after the Spirit. And Zeke, I've known you 10 years, and I don't know how much we've been able to know each other after the Spirit. I know his heart, and so I kind of have some of that. But I think there's a deeper knowing that we're to have even with each other as we're to have with God. Now, I know most everyone here, and I know situations, circumstances in your life, things that have happened. I know, you know, how you act sometimes, but that is the surface you. There's a spiritual you that I'm requested in the Word to know of you. Now, how am I going to know that if I don't even know how to have a spirit-to-spirit relationship with the Lord to where I really know him? Knowledge gained through first-hand relationship, first-hand. So I would not believe this, that Paul would be praying something that couldn't happen. Do you? Do you think Paul would be praying for them to have an intimate relationship for them with the Lord if it wasn't possible? A first-hand, he's using a Greek, he knew what the word meant when he used it. A first-hand intimate relationship with God where they would know him. Keep in mind, the New Testament didn't even exist at this time. We're so used to having this Bible that we pick up, that we find God in. Keep in mind, they did not have that. They had to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. They had to have something that was real, just as we do, guys. We cannot just know God from a book anymore. We have to know him. This is the desire of his heart for us to know him. If we could truly see a heart cry of God, I believe it's for his people to know him. And not just know about him, but know him. Someone that like John did, leaned on his breast and just listened to his heartbeat. I believe John the apostle, John the disciple, knew the Lord different than any of the other disciples. Would anyone else be in agreement? You read the book of John, and he describes Jesus like nobody else. He had some way of knowing him that the other disciples didn't know at the time. So get this. properly could be called contact knowledge. First-hand experiential knowing. So this is how we are to know God. Let's go back to those two verses again. Now, when you have that as a framework, two more, please. There we go. When you have that as a framework, understanding where that word is coming from, it starts to jump out to you a little bit. If you look at this, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you, one place says, totally full with the knowledge, with what? With the intimate experience, firsthand contact knowledge of his will. You think if we get that kind of interaction with the Lord, if we start experiencing him in that real way, that we might have a better handle on his will for our life? I think we will. I think we won't be in question all the time, am I doing the will of God? We'll have a greater way of knowing his will because of this interaction we're having with him, this firsthand interaction. Let's go down here a little bit. It says, thank you. Knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the what? The experiential knowledge of God, first-hand interaction with God. Now, let me ask you guys, is like me, does that kind of make you wonder how it's going to happen when you hear first-hand interaction with God? Anybody else? Just two of us? Three of us? It's not the norm that we're used to. See, and you're even trying to put that right there in something that you can get a box around. Because you're going like, tilt. Moses is ready to rent his clothes. Whoa. The point being is that we are not used to this as Christians. This is not our normal thinking style. To have a true, I can say I would pray to God. I would communicate to him. I'd even listen to his voice every now and then. You know, when I thought I was hearing it. But to think, to have this intimate, experiential relationship that I get a full knowledge of him, a full knowledge of the will, to know him intimately, maybe to know him in a way that nobody else knows. Maybe he will reveal something, a part of him to me that he won't tell anybody else. See, that's outside of our thinking. Because number one, we think we're disqualified. Why would he do that for me, Pastor Mike? You just don't know how bad I am. God doesn't want to take time out of his day to sit down with just me. Oh, how wrong you are. How wrong we are. Because he does. His desire for us is to know him. To know him fully. And not just know about him, not just read all the, you know how many books there are besides the Bible that you can know about God? The way that he worked in someone else's life, what he did there, what he did, you know? And yes, I know that builds faith, I know that builds encouragement, but folks, it does not build intimacy. Did you see Moses' face when I told him what his relationship was going to be like with his wife? Couldn't touch her. And yet we, as Christians, have been very happy following that framework. At least I have. But no more. I am not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to know the God just of the book. I'm not just going to know the book of God. I'm going to know the God of the book. I'm going to know him intimately. Because he's the one putting this in us. He's the one that's stirring us. He's the one who's making us dissatisfied with all the other stuff. He's the one at work in us. I didn't come up with this stuff. This is Holy Spirit agitating, stirring the pot, mixing things up. He doesn't want us to remain the same because he knows that we're destined for more. And he's got to get our attention. Awaken us, Lord. Breathe on us. We sing it. And then once he starts to do it, we go, oh, well, that's like bigger than I ever thought. That's a horse of a different color. That's not what I was signing up for. I just want him to breathe on me at church, make me feel good, like my problems weren't going to overwhelm me, and then go out and then, you know, maybe work through a week and then come back next week and have him breathe on me again. It's not that anymore, folks. That's not going to cut it in our Christianity. We are sons and daughters of God. We are here. We've been planted in this day, this hour, this year, 2015, January 4th. If you're still here, if you're still listening to that, you're not, God's not done with you. You're not done. Listen to this. It says here, Acts 17:22, I'll get back to that, 17:26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. It's not just that you're on the earth. You're here in Yakima. You're here in the United States. You were born in the family you were born in. You were here and are here for a divine reason. And it's not just to be a good citizen, and it's not just to, you know, make even others just to come to the knowledge of the Lord. You're here because you are a son and a daughter with God, I believe, has an amazing plan that we can't even see right now. We can't even grasp right now. It's because even when I start mentioning about a full intimacy with the Lord, we start going tilt sometimes. Right? Let's go to that next verse, read that too. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimate, experiential knowing and contact, real relationship with him. See, all those things that Paul prayed, I believe, don't come unless there's a true, real, intimate, firsthand relationship with him. When I first came to the Lord, that's what happened. My heart became alive to God. It was dead, and it became alive to God. And I started to experience levels of intimacy. My whole life, I've experienced levels of intimacy. But I believe today, for some reason, this hour, the people that are alive now are going to be experiencing a new level of intimacy that we've only dreamed about. We've only imagined about. Let me put it this way. None of us have a problem thinking of experiencing this kind of intimacy in heaven. But because we're not in heaven, we now have disqualified ourselves. Folks, the kingdom of heaven is inside of us. It's within. Well, Pastor Mike, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's not heaven itself. Oh, don't go there. Don't start splitting hairs. It says that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Christ. Now, who lives in you? Christ. So, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells where? In Christ. Christ dwells in us. See? Some of you are shaking your head saying, I know what you're saying. I know what it says, but it can't be true. Because I don't look like that's going on right now. Yeah, that's because you're looking at the things that are seen. The things that are not seen are saying different. The things that are not seen is you fully complete in Christ. Not even having any issues. Because that's what it says, that we're complete in him. Is the cross a finished work? Right? So was it a finished work just to get us in, or is it a finished work to complete us? We know the answer. It's to complete us. But we see our current state and we say, but I'm not completed. That's because you're seeing your current state. That's not who you are. So if you're not that person that's disqualified, if you're really the person that's complete and heaven is in you, then you can have this interaction with God. You can know him. You can know him personally and intimately. You don't have to wait till you get a little older. Sometimes I know it's like, oh boy, I'm not quite there yet. I need to grow up a little bit more. I need to, you know, mature a little bit more, spiritually speaking sometimes. No. You can be brand new in the faith today, and you can have true, pure intimacy with God. Okay, let's take a look at, go ahead and go on. And there we go, knowing God. I believe that this is a year that we won't have to look back at that scripture and say that you've been very religious and you're like worshiping an unknown God. I believe we can truly know him. But we have to purpose it. We have to do things that are out of the norm. For instance, I think we need to start talking to God as if he's right there, not as if he's miles away, not as if he's in some other planet or something, wherever you think heaven is. And you just know maybe he's hearing your voice, and talk to him just like he's real, because he is. Talk to him just like you'd be talking to a friend right next to you. Maybe things aren't going well that day. Just say, Father, it's all messed up here. I don't know what's going on. But you know what? I'm going to worship you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to trust you in this. Thank you for this problem, because I know you're going to work it out. Just that simple. Say, Father, Pastor Mike talked about knowing you. And I thought I did know you, but kind of got challenged a little bit that I just don't know you from a book. There's more to this. Would you show me? Could you start teaching me? Holy Spirit, you're supposed to reveal all truth to me. Would you start revealing the truth to me of how to have a real relationship with God? That 2015 can be a brand new year, and I'll mark this one down, and I'll say that this was a year that things changed in my life. Because I started seeing you with new eyes. Started experiencing you in reality. See, I think it's easy for us on Sunday morning. I don't think anybody feels separated from God on Sunday morning or maybe, again, at a Bible study or when you're reading your word. But I'll tell you, you're never separated from him. You're never far away from him. You're never out of his mind. All we have to do is interact with him. Some of you need to close your eyes because it'll get rid of all the noise that's around you. Some of you just need to close your eyes and just say, Lord, I'm just focusing on you. You have to picture yourself walking on a beach with God. Do it. He's not nervous about that. If you have to picture yourself holding his hand, do it. If it draws you closer to him, you think he's going to be like, well, I'm not really there, but, you know, it's... No, that's your own mind thinking that, because he is. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for giving us, Lord, the desire and a hunger, Lord, to go after you. Lord, a desire, Lord, to know you fully and intimately in reality, Lord, experiencing you, Lord, not just in a book or not just in someone else's description of you, Lord, but know you intimately. Lord, we ask you to take these hearts, Lord, that have become crooked, Lord, or haven't fully been able to embrace the reality and the truth of what you desire for us, God, and heal them. Cause our eyes to see, Lord, our eyes to see you, to seek your face, Lord, as you encourage us in your word. Lord, we just look to you for the answers. We look to you, Lord, for guidance and direction, for your wisdom, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that your death on the cross has made all this possible, that your sacrifice of laying down your glory, your splendor, your majesty, and coming here in the form of man and living a life, Lord, fully consecrated to the Father, fully separated and sanctified from anything that would have been contaminated of this life. You stayed separate from it, Lord, and you allowed yourself to be the spotless lamb. You became our sacrifice. You became the one who gave us our position back as sons and daughters in relationship with the Father. Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to do a supernatural work in our hearts. Lord, as we sit down and read our word, that we won't just read pages and words on pages and formulate thoughts, Lord, but we will literally enter into intimacy with you through those words. That we won't let the words be going and just hitting stony ground, Lord, but we would prepare our hearts to receive the seed of the word in us. And let you water and let it grow, Lord, and become, Lord, a tree of life, God. Father, I just bless, Lord, your family, our family right here now, and I ask, God, that this would be a year that we could know you fully, holy, totally sanctified and separated and sealed in you, Lord. And not just religious for the sake of being a Christian, Lord, but, Lord, being ones, God, that do the will of the Father here on earth. Doing what he's called us to do, your business, God. And we just surrender our hearts and we surrender our lives. And, God, we ask you to forgive us in areas where we've neglected, Lord, to know you as you have even desired and called us to. Some of us have felt that drawing. We just haven't known how to respond. Forgive us, Lord, and allow us, God, to receive, Lord, that full gift of relationship with you. Just ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You bet. Does anybody have any questions? Any answers? Pastor Dan, do you have any answers for this? Any testimonies of someone who feels that they've been experiencing a deeper level of intimacy?
I guess it's just like you said, pretty much about the knowledge of God. You know, I've been, the Lord's snatched me up quite a few times, always redirects my path. And I've been struggling, I guess, over the last month. You know, just been stabbed and jabbed by, you know, any kind of way that Satan can kind of throw something at me to kind of steal from, like, you know, like you said about trudging, just trudging through life and not really, you know, just having that, just trusting relationship with the Lord, just knowing that he's going to provide for me in every aspect of my life, you know. And as of right now, my daughter and I, we're out of our normal realm. We're in a whole different setting. We're staying with my niece, you know, relationship issues with my wife and whatnot. But bottom line is that, you know, I really like what you were with the husband and wife thing, because, you know what I mean? I was thinking, you know, it's just I wasn't being a good husband to my wife. I believe that I'm knowledgeable about God, but my relationship with the Lord needs work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, he knows. I mean, I guess that's the biggest thing is in my life right now. Satan's stabbing at me with my wife, wanting to, you know, it's almost all I can think about half the time. You know, I'm having nightmares and dreaming, having dreams, just, you know, and I guess just placing so much guilt, shame there, trying to just rob the rob the Lord of his word, what's there, you know, and it's been, and I've been neglecting meeting, coming together with fellowship, getting fellowship with other Christians, and being built back up, you know, being rejuvenated with the Holy Spirit, and just, and all that kind of stuff, but it was just the fact that I've been trudging, barely getting up, just barely standing, you know what I mean, and this thing, what you did with the husband and wife thing was like, you know, I just feel like, you know, now it made me feel like it's just, it's redirected on, within my heart, that it's almost like a fast to me that, you know, I needed to be separated from my wife to really understand my relationship, not only with, like I said, with her, but even with God. I wasn't, to get right, because I believe that I kind of pushed my wife away from the Lord in my own actions, in my own, you know, with whatever, anger, you know, past wrongs and things like that, and well, maybe that Satan is putting that there, believing it's like, you know, me that's done it, but I'd have to say that, you know, being here today and just and listening to what you preached on, it really rejuvenated my spirit, but, you know, because I'm like, you know, I'm asking, I'm like, where are you, dude? Where are you, man? You know, I mean, I'm suffering, I study my word, I pray to you, I'm trying to teach my daughter, you know, the best that I can with what I have, you know what I mean? But, you know, that trudging, you know, it's like, I'm supposed to be out representing God, where I'm like supposed to be trying to help draw people to the Lord, and I'm trudging. People looking at me are like, dude, you're barely standing, you know, I don't know about that God that you're praying to. You know, that's what I kind of felt like. It's like, you know, I just, my trust, my relationship, just knowing that he has a good purpose for me, and that he's a righteous and just God, and in due time, I don't know whether that's going to happen or whatnot in that level, but where I need to be at is having my personal relationship with him and just trusting that he's going to take care of, you know, take care of my wife, take care of my son, and everything happens for a purpose, and I'm here for a reason, and that's my testimony, is just the fact that it rejuvenated my spirit to where I'm like, okay, what are you doing, son, for me today? What are you doing? I got them. They're over here. They're taken care of. You know, you can't touch them. You can't see them. You can't talk to them, but I have them. You know what I mean? And they're safe.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And
would you let us pray for you?
Oh, yeah.
I just really feel that. Come on up, brother. Steve, would you come up? Would you guys just lay your hands forward here, stretch them forward, and just in the spirit lay your hands on them. Father, we just thank you, God, for this brother, God, who's just opening his heart right now, Lord, and God, just bearing it right now, Lord, and we just pray that there would just be a healing that would come from heaven. Lord, we just thank you that you are Will's God. You're his father, and Lord, that you're showing him that you've got it. You've got things under control, that if he just can slow down enough and listen to you and turn to you and look for you in everything that's going on in his life, that he'll find you. And Lord, we just release your glory now over his life. And just break the hold of the enemy off of him, however he's got him, however he's been having him chase his tail, however he's been having him look at smoke and mirrors, whatever it is, God, we just release now truth, a revelation over our brother. Thank you, Lord, for his hunger. God, that's a hunger you've put in him. And Lord, even though he's in a rough spot, we know, God, that you can even take what the enemy has meant for evil, God, and make that good. And we believe that right now in Jesus' name. Just let him experience you like never before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, God bless you. You have a great day. I was going around telling people, the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl. It's like, You know, after the next two games and they win, I'll be able to say with full confidence. I need to look at the things that aren't seen, though, right, Jason? Yeah. Prophesy it. Yep. Okay, God bless you all. Love you. Have a great day.